thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
There we go.
Here's John Williams.
We're in the Allstate Skyline Studios, high above the Chicago River, downtown Chicago, overlooking the beautiful city, and there's Lake Michigan. I can see it through a little of the kind of haze downtown. I hope you enjoy humidity. We sure had a lot of that lately. I think it's been a pretty nice summer, but the last few days have been the sort of humidity that I remember from Illinois summers. That's what they're supposed to feel like and be like. I got to tell you, as a guy who spends all day in an air-conditioned building, when I step outside at 4, 5, or 6 in the evening after most shows, I enjoy walking out into that.
Me too.
It just invigorates me. It makes me feel alive. I said, but then I always like it when I walk back into my place and it's cool again. So I want it both ways, but I'm not too upset about this. What with September right around the corner? September's right around the corner.
Can I just share with you something really quick? I won't take a lot of time. So at the airport coming back from Turkey, it was the air conditioning there isn't crazy like ours, and I was sweating, and you know me, I never sweat.
At the airport in Istanbul?
Yeah. Yeah. And it was so crowded because it was the holiday, it was an Islam holiday.
Yeah. That strikes me as an uncomfortable, crowded place.
Yeah, and I said, I wish the air conditioning was on more, and now I came here, and I was like, I wish the air conditioning was off more.
Yeah, no kidding. Don't get married, because someday you're going to have to fight the thermostat wars with a spouse. That should be on the like pre-Cana or whatever the classes or lessons are that you take before you get married. It's like, well, do you want to have kids? Do you want to raise your kids in this faith or that faith? How do you feel about money? All important issues that couples need to consider before they get married. But they should talk about some nuts and bolts stuff, right? And I don't just mean seat up, seat down, toilet paper under, toilet paper over the flap.
Over.
I'm an over guy, too. I believe Brenda is as well. But they should definitely say, where do you want the thermostat set? Because that is the environment in which you are going to live for, you know, in theory, the rest of your lives. So do you like a cooler or warmer? And maybe you'll still get married, even though one of you likes a warmer and one of you likes a cooler. But you ought to know that. You shouldn't be like 10 years later going, well, that's the way I like it in the place.
Yeah, I don't even want to think about that.
And I don't know what some of those other little niggly things are that matter. But there's a bunch of them, right?
I don't like people that don't put their shoes the left on the left and the right on the right. I can't focus on life.
When they're sitting on the floor, like anywhere, in the closet or whatever, and you go, oh my God, I've got to put those back.
And I get it. You kick them off, but then you gotta put the left on the left.
Or too many shoes in the entrance area. That drives me nuts.
Yeah. I was at a friend's house whose home I had not been in before this weekend. And when I walked in, they had two great big wicker baskets, decorative baskets, the likes of which you'd put 100 magazines or some pillows or throws. And they were just two gigantic piles of shoes and boots and flip-flops and running shoes. And that was right there at the door. And I have no problem with that because that's how they live. But I don't think that's not my choice. And I'm pretty sure it's not my spouse's. I don't think Brenda Good would go for that.
But so that's a good topic.
That should be on the list,
yeah,
too. That should be on the list, too. Like, okay, where do the shoes go? Okay, Father Johnson, thank you for meeting us. We love each other. We've been dating each other for 2 hours. Shut up, kids. What about the shoes at the door? Yes, no. More than one pair? Two pair? Can you put your jogging shoes there? Huh?
Don't sit on the bed with your clothes on. Don't ever sit on the bed unless you're going to sleep.
Don't sit on the bed with your clothes on.
No, street clothes are not meant to touch your bedding.
You mean inside the bedding or over the bedding?
Well, if you sit over the bedding, you're going to wrinkle the top duvet. So can't do that.
Oh, either. You are looking at a life as a single person, right, my friend.
You
have
can
you
just
looked
pull
at the
it.
Convent at all? Because no one's supposed to sit on your bed there either.
Well, that's another story, but no. I'm saying if you're just going to sit on the bed by yourself,
yeah,
don't sit on the bed unless you're sleeping.
Okay, but I'm sorry, V, so if you have a partner, then you don't want him sitting on the bed either unless he's, well,
no,
you don't want him sitting
on. But why would you sit on the bed? You know when you
come
home.
You're taking off your shoes.
Well, obviously you're taking off your shoes at the door, but
I'm never going to make it in her house.
Oh, man, memo to self.
I thought I was bad. I thought I was too particular.
Okay, because...
No, you said bad. That's okay.
I have at times taken my jewel bag, you know, the permanent bag that you use now, and I would come in and I would set it on the kitchen counter. And I know that gets a face because the bag is filthy on the bottom. The kitchen counter is where we, you know, eat and prepare food. And I know I shouldn't do that, but if I were never married, I think I would be doing that. So that's just another accommodation. And usually these accommodations are for the betterment of the two of you, right? Like no one's going to trip and fall at your door, and the kitchen counter will be clean and stuff like that. With the exception of all the things that Violetta said, these would be things that would be helpful to a couple.
This is helpful as well. So you guys stay in your street clothes when you're in the house?
Yeah.
You don't get comfortable?
You guys talk to her. I'm going to go
home
now.
You don't get comfortable in like sweats and like a Hanes shirt when
you're home? But those are also...
Those are only have been in your house, really.
Yeah, you're right.
You know the phrase high maintenance?
Oh, boy.
Do you know that phrase, Violetta?
Oh, boy.
I get it, though. I understand her.
Violetta, look down because that is way under you.
You can't even see there from here.
No, you can't see high maintenance
from where
you are.
Someday you hope to be high maintenance.
That's not high maintenance.
Well, I just didn't
I'll show you high maintenance. I got high maintenance issues, but that's just...
Common sense. Okay, so...
Cleanliness.
Excuse me, V, but so I come home to your house, and I presume this would apply to a visitor. Do I wear my shoes in your home? Some people do, some people don't.
I'm okay with visitors, but I'm saying if you're living there all the time.
Okay, but then
mostly because I don't want my visitors' feet
on
stuff.
Okay, well, I have these clothes on, which I've worn today and seem to be relatively clean still. I will take them off and put on new clothes.
Yes.
Then you think, I think I'll go sit on the bed. Can I sit on the bed with the new clothes I've put on?
Yes.
Ah, because they're not dirty with the day's wear on them. Is that it?
Yeah, they're just not, you know, you want to be comfortable. If you're going to be in bed, you got to wear your sweats and your comfy clothes.
All right.
So do you have rules about wearing clothes twice? Because you're talking about a lot of laundry in your house.
Yeah, I don't wear clothes twice other than sweatshirts.
John from 708 Miracle Whip or Hellman's Mayo on Sandwiches. Honestly, I can do both, but as I've aged, I've come to appreciate the pure goodness of Hellman's. John, how they squeeze the toothpaste, now that's a classic. Of course, you should do it from the bottom. And if you squeeze it from the middle and the thing gets all disjointed, then you need to have your own toothpaste.
Well, and then this is the question. Do you mind fixing it? Because most things I don't mind fixing. Like if I'm the one that's particular... I don't mind doing it the way I want it after you, if you don't mind that I do it after you.
Oh, okay. So I'll have the toothpaste squeezed wrong and the shoes will be outside, you know, they'll be pointing in the wrong direction.
But those things don't start to add up for you, V, if you're like...
Yeah, you know, they'll come out one night.
But it is your belief,
after the third martini when
right.
I decided you did something else.
You and your stupid shoes. So, but it's at least your hope that you would say, okay, fine. I know I'm way too particular about this, but if you don't mind my constantly fixing your mistakes, then we're both good, right? You get to put your shoes in the wrong way, and I get to have them the way I want. Rinsing the sink after brushing your teeth. I try and wipe out the sink after we use it at my place. But again, we have two sinks. I have a little one over here. Brent has a little one over there. I brush and do my thing. I try and wipe things down.
We have two sinks, but maybe I should be using the other one. We only use one.
Oh, yeah. Steve, listen. Oh, my gosh. Try that.
Guys get mad, though, when you're using theirs. Like, there's another one right over there.
John, I agree with Violetta. I only sit on the foot edge of the duvet and only if my clothes are clean. Never street clothes touching the sheets or pillowcases. And from 269, no outdoor clothes in or on the bed, especially for someone with allergies. Why bring in the pollen and the germs into your bed? Who knew? But there's a little love and support for Violetta's, what I thought was idiosyncrasy, but evidently is a shared life system by other listeners.
How about shoes in the house? Because think of all the garbage trails you step on. When you're walking outside.
Yeah, if you walk by the Addison L stop.
I was just going to tell you that
That is an unpleasant place.
It's not so much about the germs. I don't really even think about it. I mean, I might get even crazier if I start thinking about the germs on stuff.
Oh my God, V, you might not live through the night.
But so it's not about that. It's just more so I want my bed to be clean in the cleanest way. I want it to be comfortable all the time.
Let me ask you this. Well, before you go to bed at night,
Yes.
Do you take a washcloth and wipe the bottom of your feet off to get them nice and clean?
No, but I do rub them on my carpet right before I jump into bed.
That is the...
What? It just feels cleaner, even
sure
if it did
does.
Nothing.
Thank you. I appreciate you knowing that, because in fact, what you may have done is just wipe the germs from the floor and coated your feet with them rather than transferring them. How do you know which way
it's
the germs are going to go?
It's not about the germs. It's about
the brain. It's about how you feel, right? It's the psychology of it, right?
Yes. Just like recycling.
Because if you're a germ, you're going, hey, I think let's hop on the foot rather than the germs on the feet going, hey, let's dig into the carpet, because the germs and the carpet are going, you know what? There's a lot to eat in between those two toes. Let's go, everybody. Come on. And now they're in your feet. And now you get into the bed. And now all of that attention you spent on not putting your street clothes in the bed are wedged in between your big toe and your second toe.
So are you telling me I need to change my carpet or what?
I'm telling you. I don't know what I'm telling you. How did we get onto this?
I don't know.
This is the humidity and the air conditioning. Yeah that's right.
It.
So, by
the
way,
what's your number?
For me, it would be warmer than it is for Brenda, and for Brenda, it would be cooler than it is
really?
For me. But again, I'm such a hypocrite, because I say that, and I'm telling you, when I walk into my house and it's as cool as it is, I know I appreciate that, and it's nice to sleep in a cool home and pull the sheet.
Well, what's cool?
Up.
73?
I don't even know what the number is. All I know is, you know, Brenda and I, our whole lives have just been thermostatically different. Mm. Thermostatically different.
People. I'm a 73, 74.
Okay, then I think that sounds warm to me, but I'd have to walk into your place like I'd ever get through the threshold. But I'd have to walk into your place to see if that was what felt comfortable for me. But let's just finish this conversation with you texting to us. Text to 312-981-7200. What is that thing that you've discovered after 1 year of marriage or after 50 that you go, this is an accommodation I didn't anticipate? They talk to you about kids and faith and money. And, you know, the big picture things, but really the intimacies of life are some of the smallest things. What are those things that you've discovered are issues that you've had to deal with over the years for the sake of Violetta and Elif, neither of whom have a life mate yet, to my knowledge?
May never have.
And might benefit from knowing this. You know, lend your experience. 312-981-7200. Text to that number. Governor Rauner has vetoed a bill that you and I may disagree on. Should he have signed it? Should he have not? Producer Elif, what is the news click today, please?
Should the legal age to buy tobacco in Illinois go from 18 to 21? Yes or no?
Those are your options. Yesterday, we asked you on the news click, the White House flag is back to half staff. President Trump has issued a full statement on John McCain. It was tepid, but it was logistical. It wasn't really a statement about John McCain. It simply said, Pence is going to do this and the flags are going to do that. But I digress. So the White House flag is back to half staff. You could have said, A, great, problem solved. Or B, it's too little too late. This doesn't make it any better or worse. We're where we were. Or you could have said, C, actually, this now makes it worse. My answer to that was C, it makes it worse, as though bringing it down would placate them and fix it. Not only do you insult him, but now you're calling us all stupid. I actually think if that's how the president feels, fine, he's the president. There's no masking his intent. Leave it where it is. Bringing it down just makes him look feckless. I would have left it up there. You know, if you're the president's people, just go, all right, this is Donald Trump. Flags up, because he doesn't like John McCain and his personal politics are more important than the nation. So leave it up. But then if it pulls it down, then it makes it look like they're utterly rudderless. I mean, it finally got to the right place, but it does not reflect the sentiment of the White House. Hell, own it. If that's how you feel, stand by it. I thought that was the Trump credo. The same guy that said McCain wasn't a very good hero should have left the flag up. But no, now it's down because he doesn't have a spine. He made it worse. That's not how most of you voted, though. Most of you said, I think the the most common answer was B, wasn't it, Olive? How did the what were the news click results from yesterday?
Yeah, it was either A, this now makes, or sorry, A, great problem solved. B, this doesn't make it better or worse, too little, too late. Or C, this now makes it worse, like you said. And B, which was, this doesn't make it better or worse, got 77%.
77% now. I'm surprised that they were able to move him off the dime. He was so petulant. He was so adamant. He was so holding his breath. I can't believe that they were able to persuade him.
It is the weirdest thing, the whole way they handled this.
It's sort of like Omarosa. It's sort of like so many other things that were a thing. It's not like Omarosa, but you know, they'll take something that's unfortunate or complicated and they only make it worse, not because of what it is, but because of the way they handle it.
Exactly. I mean, this could have been handled so much easier, like we talked yesterday, and now they look worse than had they just bit the bullet in the beginning. Did you see, this is unfair, but did you see the video of the president with his phone trouble yesterday with the closing credits to Veep?
Yeah. Well, it's funny because, so the president wanted to, and you know, this is such a dangerous video opportunity that I would have advised against it, even if that was Bill Gates sitting there. All right? Because it's
a technical thing.
It's interpreters on either end.
I don't know how to use my office phone.
I don't either.
Right.
I don't either. And this 70-some-year-old president we got, it wasn't real comfortable with it. But the tech said, don't worry. Enrique will be there. You'll be here. And we'll put you guys both on speaker phones at the same time. And then your translators will translate. And then we'll be able to watch you talk to the speaker phone. And you'll be able to announce the new deal with Mexico. Okay, so it went badly, right? Because, hello, are you there? And then there was the translator. It didn't go well. And so as we were all watching that yesterday, a lot of us were playing musical soundtracks in our head. So let's do the Veep one. Steve mentioned that. So this is the call to the president of Mexico, and quickly it falls off the rail, and quickly somebody to the closing credits from Veep played the theme.
The president is on the phone. Enrique. You can hook him up.
The clutter in the background is the cacophony of photographers. They're all taking pictures of this historic moment. We're getting a new deal with NAFTA. It's not NAFTA, it's NAFTA Lite. It's the best of NAFTA or the worst of NAFTA. The Wall Street Journal said that it is some of the good of NAFTA and a lot of new bad stuff. They said, we'll reserve judgment until we read the fine print. But the Wall Street Journal's position this morning is that this deal with Mexico is worse than what we have with NAFTA. Okay, so there it is to Veep. Somebody else said, no, Curb Your Enthusiasm soundtrack better complements what happened in the White House yesterday.
Hello. Do you want to put that on this phone, please?
Oh, God. Whenever I hear something like that, and by the way, this is a lot of my life, so this is about the president, but all of us can relate in a tiny way to things going wrong on a stage. But when I thought about this, I thought of Chevy Chase trying to hang the lights to the gutters in Christmas Vacation.
I believe the president is on the phone. Enrique? Yeah, you can hook him up.
Please come in.
You tell me when. How are you? It's a big thing. A lot of people waiting. Hello? You want to put that on this phone, please? Hello? Be helpful.
President Trump.
Thank you.
President Trump, how are you? Good morning.
Thank you, Enrique, and congratulations. That's really a fantastic thing. We've all worked very hard.
That's how I heard it. You can insert your own soundtrack. But eventually they made the deal. The stock market went up yesterday. The analysts are waiting to see. John, was the call you just played real or fake? The music underneath it was fake, but the call was virtually unedited and real. John, the same people who applaud the NFL players for kneeling are now complaining because Trump did not display the flag correctly. What's up with that? From 815, alternate way to look at it is maybe that guy in charge of raising and lowering the flag did not get his job right that day. Somebody else said maybe this is just human error. But 847 says the president does not want to lose the veterans' vote, so now the flag is down.
Well, let's be clear, it wasn't human error. I mean, everyone was talking about it and the flag stayed up.
574 said check the flag code. Upon the death of a senator, the flag goes to half staff on the day and one day after. That is the flag code. The president can do whatever he wants, though. And if the president had said in deference to John McCain, it will stay at half staff until his body is interred, he could have done that. And he has only done so because of all of the commotion it created. This is John Williams in the Allstate Skyline Studio. We're done talking about, things that you wish you knew or should have known before you got married. We then segued over to some of the president's foibles the last couple of days. Somebody even sent us, a couple of you did, the president coloring the flag with some students. He was at a photo op in a school, and there he was sitting on the little chairs with the kids, and they were coloring the American flag, and people were quick to point out that he got the color scheme wrong. I'm not going to bust the president for that. If I was doing the flag and it was red and white stripes, although I think he was actually doing the blue wrong, which is the background for the stars, but I guarantee you I would not be certain if the first stripe was red or if the second stripe was red. And I would do it, and they would say, oh, he's an idiot, he doesn't know. When Dan Quayle misspelled potato, I wasn't sure how to spell potato. And if you put a tomato to my head right now, I don't think I'd get that one right either. Okay, Steve, spell tomato. Ready, set, go.
T-O-M-A-T-O.
There's no E at the end?
No.
Same with potato?
Potato's tougher, but there's currently no E. I think if there's potatoes, is there an E? I don't know.
See, that's exactly it. Red stripe, white stripe.
That's my thing about the Trump phone call. And maybe you were just saying this. I was off, but
sure.
Yeah, I can't use my own office phone, so I totally understand, but it just was funny. You know, it's not a...
That's all it was.
It's...
I know this doesn't have anything to do with the man's competence as a president. Just operating electronics is difficult for a lot of people.
And honestly, he handled it well. He didn't get mad or throw a hissy fit. You know, he was just...
That's because there was 1,000 cameras clicking away.
But that hasn't stopped him before.
In the private sector, if he wasn't the president of the United States and that was in the boardroom and that was a conversation he was going to have with a lender in Germany, he would have gone ballistic. You could tell
you don't know that.
That he was seething underneath.
He was fine.
He's going, this is a really big thing. So
a lot of people are watching.
A lot of people are reading. Okay. And the guy dashes in and hits the button. And he's like, I guarantee you that somebody got yelled at after that curious photo op.
And someone should have, because that's just a sign of disorganization that should not have happened.
One of our hosts and my one-time, long-time producer, Matt Bubala, is on the phone. What, Matt?
John Williams, it's not that he did red where it should be white. It's that he put blue in the red and white part.
I know. I knew that the blue didn't go there, Matt. I would have known that.
You would have gotten that part.
That one, but okay, Matt. First stripe in the American flag, is it red or white? Go.
Red.
How's it going to be white? It's got to be red.
You don't know?
Yes, it's got to be red.
I don't know, but I think red's a good guess. Got to start with red.
Okay. So fine.
I know it's not blue.
Right. Maybe. I just don't know the whole backdrop of that story. You know, maybe he didn't have a red crayon and he didn't want to take it from a little kid.
No, he had already painted one red. There's already red on it. He's doing blue. There's no excuses. It just, you know. Maybe it's just a mind cramp, and we're just being mean to him because people are mean to him.
Right.
But it's clearly very badly done. Or maybe he's like, hey, I'm with first graders. We're being creative. We're coloring outside the lines. Let's not be held back by what we think it's supposed to be. Let's make it what we want.
Appreciate you listening, Matt, and calling into our little show here today.
Thanks, John Williams.
That's Matt Bubala. You can hear him late Saturday nights on WGN. Governor Rauner... had before him a bill not unlike that which has been signed into law in other states, and it would have raised the age to buy tobacco in Illinois to 21. The bill, known as Tobacco 21, what with it being 21 and tobacco and all, arose from a nationwide movement that shares the same name. I'm reading from the IllinoisPolicy.org site. It says the campaign is a project of Preventing Tobacco Addiction Foundation, SB 2332, filed January 24th by State Senator Julie Morrison of Deerfield, would have raised the legal age to buy more than just tobacco. It would have been for e-cigarettes, electronic cigarettes, nicotine products, any of that stuff, the electronic hookah, vape pens. I suppose the Juul would fall into this category, right? All of that stuff. And it was going to go from 18 by law in Illinois to 21. And the governor vetoed it. State Senator Dan McConchy of Hawthorne Woods is a critic of this plan. He said that, "I am loath to draw a new line that says you're old enough and mature enough to decide who will become president, but you're not old enough to purchase tobacco products." Usually the line they use is, if you're old enough to serve in the war, then you ought to be able to drive or vote or drink alcohol or do anything else that's age restricted. I don't even know that that makes perfect sense, but I get that logic. So he's saying, if you're old enough to decide who the president of the United States is or who the governor or mayor is, then you ought to be old enough and mature enough to know whether or not you want to use tobacco. The very definition of not being old enough is, in fact, using the product. It's so counterproductive to your health in every way, financially, physically, socially. Your life gets more complicated. Some people will make judgment upon you. There's no redeeming reason of any kind to smoke. And so that you choose to do that automatically shows that your logic is somewhat flawed, that you're not making a mature or best decision. You're not being best. So, yeah, we ought to wait a little bit longer until you've got it figured out that this is a bad idea.
So maybe you shouldn't be able to vote for the president if you smoke.
Well, there are plenty of people who say that there ought to be an IQ test for having kids or for voting for the president. Think of how many people you know have had kids, got no reason to be having kids or having more kids. And you go, you know, you're just too dumb. Why are you doing this? This is a bad idea. Okay, my question for you is this. Should we raise the law, the age in Illinois, to 21? That's all. 312-981-7200. And I don't like the nanny state. You know how, like, we have the better example of this is that we have rules in all cities and states across the country about how much soda you can buy. Cook County had a soda tax to keep us from drinking too much soda because that's not good for us. Wasn't a money grab. It was because it's what's best for you. And in New York, they have the big gulp law, which says that you can't buy great big gulps of soda anymore. So that's generally, you know, how this thing gets hammered out. It's best for you. And I've always resisted that. I don't think that that's at Cook County or in the state of New York, their business to tell me how much soda I can have. If I want to drink nothing but soda and rot my teeth, that's my prerogative. If I were to be consistent, then I guess I should be saying the same thing about tobacco as well.
Well, it could be your prerogative to drink as much as you are. So you're saying the limit on the size because you would oppose the tax too, I would imagine, right?
Yeah.
Punishment tax?
Well, I just wanted them to be honest about it. If they had said, look, we need some money, and it's a tax you don't have to pay, so we're just going to take your money if you're going to choose to drink soda. But they said, no, it's what's best for your health. It's not a money grab. And that's where I got off.
So it wasn't best for your health?
It was better for your health. Okay. It's none of their business. If I want to be unhealthy, I get to be unhealthy.
Yeah, but then I have to pay for you, your diabetes treatment.
You know, that's a rabbit hole you'll never get out of. If you go down that and go, well, but then you're doing this. All right, but then you're doing that. Well, you smoke. Well,
fine.
You drink.
I like it down here in this rabbit hole.
You know, you don't even use the Dutch grab yet when you get out of your car. So
no, I don't.
It's about time you did that. All right, I'll pause. Really anxious to hear from you. 312-981-7200. You can call or text WGN. John Williams here. Let's talk to Tom for a second. Hey, Tom, you're on the air. What did you want to say? Thanks for calling.
Well, instead of instead of lowering the age for cigarettes, why don't we raise the age for the military? And that might even have the additional advantage of having more sensible people in the military.
How about that? So you're if they have to match, rather than lowering the age to smoke, raise the age to serve.
Exactly.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about it that way. Thanks for the phone call.
Okay.
Yeah, appreciate your thought on that. 312-981-7200. From 773, John, here's the deal. If you're not old enough to drink or smoke, you're not old enough to decide who should be president. The voting age should be 21. You know what? I think the voting age should be 17. How about that? Instead of raising the voting age to 21, I think we should actually lower it. Of course, I'm a Democrat, and a Democrat would think that, right? From 920, I don't know why you're reminding us of this, but hey, John, Obama smoked. Okay. And from 630, raise adulthood to 21. 18-year-olds are still kids.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
Different state.
Here's John Williams.
I'm supposed to know. I do Illinois temperatures. I don't know how I'm supposed to know Iowa temperatures. For God's sakes, what do you people want?
Lord have mercy.
Man can only give and give and give, and then there's nothing left to give. Dancing as fast as I can. This in the Chicago Sun Crimes today. University of Illinois pledges free tuition to students and families earning less than $61,000. Free tuition to students and families earning less than $61,000. I read the whole story 1.5 times because I care. And I don't exactly understand that. University of Illinois at Champaign-Urbana is pledging 4 years of free tuition to admitted students from families that earn less than 61K. The Illinois Commitment Program, which is tied to the state's median income, the median income, as many on either side of $61,000 in the state, will make attendance at the university free for about half the families who live in Illinois, starting in 2019. How about them apples next fall? University expects the program will cost them $16 million a year once it's fully implemented. They give a lot more than that in student aid already. But if you make $59,000, $60,000 a year and your kid's lucky enough to get into the U of I, then you don't have to pay tuition. You have to pay for room and board and fees. It'll still cost you $15,000, but it won't cost you another whatever, $18,000, $20,000. Depending on what they go to. The program is as much, says the Sun-Times, an exercise in psychology as accounting. What it is designed to give students from relatively low-income families confidence that they won't have to pay the university's in-state tuition and fees, $16,000 to $20,000, $21,000, depending on the program. And that'll hopefully prompt them to apply. And I hope they do. What a shame if you're smart enough to go to Illinois and could get in, but you fear not being able to afford it and don't even avail yourself one of the great educations in this country. It will be free to people up to $61,000. And that's great. But this is just my little, I don't know how to say this, because I don't want to take away from that. But I'm a person who makes more than $61,000 a year. And has for a while, so lucky me. But I think if you're making $63,000 a year, you ain't rich. And Illinois is still expensive. And if you're smart, you've been saving for that for about a decade now as your kid gets ready to go to school. And I think we should find a way to lower the tuition for your kid, too.
Well, you can't lower it for everybody, right? There's got to be.
I think you could.
There's got to be a level set somewhere.
If you know, Hillary Clinton said that tuition should be free in colleges.
Yeah.
And I think it should, too.
But I don't think she said it should be free at every college. I think that's the difference.
I think it was public universities. Let me ask my producer. Hey, okay. See what Hillary Clinton said about free tuition. Was it discounted tuition? Was it income-based? Was it for public versus private? I think Hillary Clinton wanted free tuition for everybody.
The way I remember it is that she wanted free tuition, free education available to everybody,
mm-hmm.
but it wouldn't be every school. So maybe Illinois, and I'm making this up, that was my understanding of it.
Yeah.
Maybe it'd be Eastern, Western, and Edwardsville would be available tuition free, but they're the
Oh, those schools. So you got to go to Carbondale or.
Oh, you're right. Carbondale would be free, for God's sakes.
As we have a lot of Salukis in this building, my friend. As many as we have the Golden Eagles, or whatever you guys call yourselves now.
It's been 20 years, okay? It's the Golden Eagles.
Yeah, yeah. I'm still bitter about that. We're the Warriors.
Yeah, right. So you know, see what I'm saying? So that if college education would be accessible to everyone for free, but that doesn't mean that every college would be accessible for free.
Yeah.
Think, though, that you get what you pay for?
No. Absolutely not.
If
not
education was completely free.
Keep going.
There's no... It dilutes the point of getting a degree.
Oh, I thought you were going to say some schools are better education than others.
Well, that too.
Oh, I don't subscribe to that.
Some schools are better than others, but you don't get what you pay for.
Well, right, because what's the most expensive school in Illinois? Probably Northwestern, right? Millikan, U of C. You know, we have some $60,000 schools and we have some $15,000 schools. Are the $60,000 schools giving you four times a better education than SIU Edwardsville? No.
No, but it's not just that education. It's the whole experience. I mean, all universities provide something different. And I did not go to a very elite school, but I think that you definitely also get what you put in. So if you try very hard, you also do well. But
right. That's the point. So Violetta, you can go to a more affordable school and earn yourself a great education. So I do think families that bury themselves in debt because they want to go to a premier marquee name, I don't think they get what they pay for.
No, I do not either. Here's what I think you do get if you go to Notre Dame or Michigan or the University of Chicago or Northwestern, maybe Illinois too. You get a better job when you graduate. You get a better job when you graduate. There's more people willing to look at that and go, oh, what do you know? Or there's an alumni program and they're going to hire the kids that went to the same school they did. So that's worth something. That's worth something. But A, college is too expensive. B, schools should be arrested. They should actually arrest the whole school when they enroll kids into programs they know the kids can't afford and will saddle them and their families with debts for years to come. If you have somebody at the university, at Northwestern, University of Illinois, University of Chicago, one of those places, and they're majoring in philosophy, and they're going to graduate with $68,000 in debt, shame on the school for taking that money. They should go, look, you're 19. I know you like the quad, but no, this is stupid. This is not worth it. Do not take this class.
Okay, I don't agree with that, but I think we need philosophy majors.
Boy, we don't. philosophy majors need to eat. They need to have a sandwich someday.
So that's their decision that I agree with you, but I don't want to discourage philosophy students. Art history, maybe.
I want to discourage anybody. The object of the game is to have enough money to buy a sandwich and tickets to Hamilton.
Here's how you fix it. You build tent cities where the students live. You stop with the Taj Mahals and the four-star restaurants.
Student life,
The rec centers that 10% go to.
Oh, my God,
and the money
rec
they
centers.
Spent to try to bring students in. Money outside of actual education, that to me is what's outrageous.
I don't argue that point. Although I've shopped for schools for my kids, and you've got one that's still in.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't it nice that your kids have these things available to them?
No, really, they're not. I really wish my kids had just had one or two choices at the cafeteria and that I could have paid maybe 30% less. I think the food choices at colleges now
are awesome.
Ridiculous.
But they're awesome.
They're awesome, and we don't have a choice.
Yeah.
And that's what's driving costs up.
We had chicken fried steak and french fries. They had a salad bar that you just walked by.
We could track the ground beef through the week. On Monday it would be hamburgers, and it would be like chili Fritos by Friday. I'm not kidding.
HillaryClinton.com, making college debt-free and taking on student debt. Here's what every student and family should expect under Hillary's plan. Every student should have the option to graduate from a public college or university in their state without taking on any debt.
See, there you go.
Without taking on any debt, and that doesn't mean it's free.
But it said, it said from a school. It didn't say from any school.
No.
From a school, a public school in your state.
Okay, but here it is. All community colleges will offer free tuition. And that was for the JUCOs.
Okay.
I graduated from Joliet Junior College. Go Wolves. So all community colleges, free tuition. Are you on board with me on that?
Sure.
Well, don't just say that to make me happy, Steve. It sounds like you're not even thinking it through.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
Exactly.
No, yeah, I think that's great. Absolutely.
So 12th grade, senior in high school, free.
What we're
13th grade
you,
is free. 14th grade is free.
Right, because right now, K through 12 is taxpayer funded or free, and so
that's the thing.
12 doesn't get it done anymore, so you should go to 14. Sure.
I'm so glad you say that, because really 12th grade's kind of arbitrary. Why did we say 12th grade it's free, not 11th grade, not 13th grade? The world has changed, and I'd say up to 14th grade we ought to give you trade school or tuition free. It should not cost you. I mean, as a citizen, I'm willing to, I got no kids in school right now. I'm willing to pay my share of the taxes to make sure anybody can send a kid through 14 years of education.
Right. Just don't come to me with a referendum to increase my property taxes for.
Well, that's another conversation, isn't it? How do we afford
for an astroturfed football field?
Well, I wouldn't go there, though, because college. A lot of the big time college sports don't come from student fees or tuition. They come from revenue from the programs themselves and boosters.
Yeah, but I am serious about that, though. I think that, you know, schools now work so hard to recruit students. It's switched from where it used to be that the money they spend on things that aren't that important. I might be wrong. I'm sure someone studied it, but it just seems to me that really drives up what we pay.
The number is 312-981-7200. We'll go to your calls and texts next. A text has just poured in from Lou Manfredini, of course. And Lou, I'm going to read it without having pre-read it because I trust you.
Really? Still?
It says, I agree with everything you're saying. Well, we're off to a good start with Lou's text. I agree with everything you're all saying. What I'm most excited about with this plan by the University of Illinois is that it's part of the correction. This is something that higher education has needed to do, and it is a start. And if either universities follow, the number will change, and higher education will be more accessible to more people. I read an article last week. I think it's New York University. I think it's NYU's med school is now free. Think about that. You will not, if you get accepted to NYU's med school, you're going to be a doctor. It's free. I don't know. It would seem to me like that's a bad business plan. Imagine if Jewel Osco said, from now on, all of our food is free.
Well, but they've got such huge endowments, I think, that they can afford to do.
They've got billion-zillion-dollar endowments. Okay, we'll pick up some phone lines in a minute. Lots of calls, lots of texts. You are next on WGN. So I was just reading the story in the Chicago Sun-Times. University of Illinois pledges free tuition to students and families earning less than $61,000. And that's great for those families. But $62,000 is not a lot of money for a family trying to put a kid through the U of I. And I just think it's a shame that you might be on the wrong side of that threshold and almost wish you were. Right? It's like if you were making $60,000 this year and you could get some overtime, I'd say skip that. I'm going to make sure I make $60,995 this year if my kid's eligible to go to the U of I and then take the free tuition. Are you kidding me? Finally, the program will not cover room, board, books, or other costs, a sum that Champaign estimates would cost him about $15,000 a year. New students will be eligible for the program for 8 semesters. Yeah, your kid's going to want to go there 5-6 years, but it's only good for 4 years. I know. All right, let's do this first. I'm late to bring you the Jefferson Cuts. Elif is quick to remind me, and I want to play those for you, but since we're on this topic, let's just finish this thought, and then we'll get to what TJ says. Hey, Jim, you're on WGN Radio. What do you say? Hey, Jim. Breaker, breaker, Jim. I'll come back to you, sir. Let's go to Ed. Ed, you're on the air. What do you want to say?
I just want to say that I'm fortunate enough, without being a blowhard or anything, I was fortunate enough to pay for 3 private schools. It's more like a private club. I think it's terrible that we've come to this. I think let's get football and basketball out of schools. Do it the way Europe does. Everybody goes for nothing. You go to study. You go out. You get a job. We hire the best people. Amen. Done.
Thank you for the call. I'm going from you to Mary. You're on WGN. Jim, I'm coming to you. Go ahead, Mary. You're on the air.
Hi. Hi. You know, I think the other guy made a really good point. But the other thing is that what we forget to look at is that the federal government has made Parent PLUS loans almost the easiest thing. It's astonishing to me. You can get any amount of money in a Parent PLUS loan, regardless of your ability to pay or not to pay. My oldest is in college right now. We have 5 more to put through school. Oh. We're very, very fortunate that he is going out of state for $10,000 a year less than what it would cost him to go to U of I. U of I was by far the most expensive of all 17 schools that he got into. It was the only school that didn't give him any merit scholarship. We don't qualify for, even with 6 kids, we don't qualify for any kind of financial aid or FAFSA. So everything my kids get is through merit scholarships. And U of I does not give in-state kids anything because they have sold out to the foreign student population, which is, you know, fine. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be recruiting students from overseas, China. But I do think that in this state in particular, what has happened to U of I in particular, I think ISU has better programs, but U of I, it's embarrassing and it's horrifying, and then the federal government makes it worse by letting you take as much as you want in loans.
So I'm sympathetic with you. I'm totally sympathetic with you, but I also think you described part of the problem. How many schools did your child get accepted to?
Okay, so we had a slightly different situation.
He was going
for an Evans scholarship, though. So he applied to every Evans school.
I'm not faulting him at all. But then that's what happens is we've got 17 schools who want your son, and then they're competing to get him, and that's why you've got carving station at every dorm.
16 other schools are holding a spot, and it's harder for a kid to get in.
Steve, you make a really good point about that. I mean, so this year is his sophomore year, and I've jokingly told many people he's living better this year than I've ever lived in my entire 47 years. In my life, I have never had my own bedroom and my own bathroom.
I wanted to ask you this question. You said did he or did he not get into the University of Illinois? Did he get accepted?
Oh, yes.
Of course he did. Do you live in one of the suburbs?
I don't mean it like that.
No. And I should shut my mouth because... But it sounds like your kid's very bright and you guys are able to do this. Here's my point. I know so many kids who really worked very hard and got good grades and did all the extracurricular stuff, and they go to schools in zip codes that the U of I has plenty of kids. If they had gone downstate, if they were from China, or if they were from Iowa, they'd get into the U of I, but too bad they live in one of the good collar counties of Chicago, and that's not diverse enough for the U of I. So these kids who have every hope and I think reason to go to U of I can't because of who they are and where they're from, and I don't like that.
So that's an interesting point that you make. I live in the south suburbs, and my kids actually go to a school that is 60% African American. So we kind of fall into a range of, like, even though they're as white as you can be, we come from a desirable demographic from that standpoint.
That's interesting.
Which is great. I mean, we're very fortunate. Our high school is, I couldn't be more proud of it. But I guess my whole argument is that when I went to college a billion trillion years ago, the in-state option was the least expensive. And for my son, at the, major land-grant university in Illinois, it was without a doubt, and by thousands and thousands of dollars, it was the most expensive school he could have gone to.
Isn't that funny? I mean, the U of I is just a little, I'm going to say belligerent that way, and I'm sure somebody in the administration of U of I is listening right now and saying you got it all wrong, but I guarantee you that's the perception out there, and I think they need to at least address that. By the way, we're late for a break, so I got to let you go, but where did your son end up going to school then?
He goes to Florida State University. Go Seminoles. And he's majoring in meteorology, which was his dream all along, and he absolutely loves it. And it's very reasonable. It's, he's he's going for, I mean, I feel comfortable saying he's going for under $20,000 a year with room, board, tuition, and books.
Imagine that, out of state. Hey, good luck to him. Good luck to you. I really appreciate your listening and calling, Mary.
Thanks. Love you.
Have a good day. I love you. It's 2:29. All right. I'm late for the news, so we'll do the news. I wanted you to hear what Jefferson said about what it takes to be a good president. And more of you have things you want to say. Heather Long joins us now on WGN. Hi, Heather. How are you?
Hey, good to be here.
Do you care to just jump into the end of that conversation and talk about the high cost of college education with us?
Well, University of Illinois is still much more reasonable than many schools in this country. So it's all in perspective.
Or in this city, yeah, because are you in Washington, D.C. or are you in New York?
I'm in Washington, D.C. right now, and certainly thinking about a lot of the private institutions here, Georgetown University or George Washington University, for example, much higher sticker cost.
Yeah. I just got a text message from somebody whose kid went to Georgetown, and it cost him an arm and a leg. And when they graduated, the kid went to apply for a job, and the guy interviewing him said, well, let's see, I want to see what a kid from Georgetown can do. And the Georgetown graduate got the job. Maybe not a better education, but a better opportunity to get a job when you graduate. And I think that's what you're really paying for. You know what I mean? I know,
yeah,
that's not why we called you. I know that. Heather Long's on the line. She's a Washington Post reporter. And I wanted to talk to you, Heather, as you've talked to us in the past, a little bit about this, in this case, deal that the president is trying to make with Mexico. I'm scratching my head about that because the markets reacted very well yesterday, and they're up a little bit more today. But it seems like the ink is still wet on this. What do we know is going to happen, and do we know if this is a quote-unquote good deal or a bad one?
A lot of questions to unpack there. So in the best case scenario, and the reason that the market's really cheering this deal is that this will soon be a deal with Mexico and Canada, and that's really what the market thinks is going to happen. Some of the harder issues were between the U.S. and Mexico, and that's what we saw some resolution on in the announcement yesterday. But obviously, it's not a done deal. Congress has indicated that it doesn't want to sign a deal unless it has Canada involved, and Mexico is sort of backtracking and saying it doesn't want to deal with just the United States. Mexican leaders also want Canada involved. So, we'll be watching Canada closely here in the next few days. In terms of whether this is a good deal, the reality is we don't have all the details. What was released yesterday were a couple of bullet points, call them talking points. So it's hard to really assess the nitty-gritty of what's going on here. At the end of the day, this deal more than likely will make cars and trucks a little bit more expensive in the United States. But the trade-off there is the hope is that it will save a few more jobs for auto workers in the United States, which tend to be good-paying jobs. The average is $22 an hour in the United States for an auto or auto parts worker. So just like that conversation of how do you pay for college? Well, it starts with people having good enough incomes to be able to make those payments.
And one of the ways that will happen
is,
as I understand it, 75% of a car in the United States will have to have U.S. manufactured parts. Is that right?
It's not U.S. I mean, in the deal, it specifies U.S. or Mexican. Again, it's very hard to understand how that works without Canada. The current regulation in NAFTA is 62.5%, but that content coming from anywhere in the three-country zone. So, as you all know in Illinois, because a lot of parts are coming from Canada into your home state, it'd be pretty hard to imagine how the auto industry would be able to function if Canada weren't part of that deal.
Well, just talk to me a little bit about this. I'm reading here. It says under the deal, to escape the tariffs, 75% of auto content parts and amenities must be made within the United States or Mexico. That would be a bump from the 62.5% minimum of North American content. So if a car company is making a car in the United States and 74% of the content is from the United States, but say 26% is outside Mexico, Canada, or the United States, then they'd get hit with a tariff, right? Then there'd be a tax on that car, right?
Not exactly. So this is for cars that might would be coming across the border from Mexico in the quesadilla or Canada if they hopefully get you know, get Canada on board too. You know, a car that's mostly made in the United States and sold in the United States is not going to be subject to tariffs. Tariffs are really about what's happening at the border.
At the border.
Right. You know, the reality is very few cars are, you know, it's not like the old Model T Ford that we all remember from back in the day.
Right, right.
That where, you know, where you have one assembly line and that car is going from start to finish on that one assembly line and in Michigan or Wisconsin or wherever. You know, nowadays parts are coming from all over the world, but particularly from Mexico and Canada. You might get a tire from Canada, you might get an engine from Mexico. And so, and then those parts are shipped to Wisconsin or to Ohio, and then they're put together on the assembly line, and that the final car comes off. So that's really how that 75% threshold would work.
Right.
Yeah.
And the idea is, though, that we want to make the cars more made in Mexico and America, right? More the component parts.
Yeah, I mean, the big, anybody who's going to buy a car lately knows, or even rented a car, you know, your car is basically turning into a computer. You know, there's more and more screens, there's more and more things that are done automatically for you. I was just in a rental car yesterday, and, you know, it bings if you drive outside the lines, or yeah. You know, it has a device to wake you up. I mean, it's pretty phenomenal. The issue is a lot of those more computerized devices going into cars are currently made in South Korea or China or other parts of Asia. So I think a big, you know, part of this renegotiation here, when they're lifting that threshold from 62.5 to 75% made in North America or made in the U.S. and Mexico, is to try to move some of that manufacturing base to the United States and to North America.
Well, do those companies and products exist? Are they simply choosing the less expensive parts from other parts of the world, or do new industries or companies need to crop up here to actually supply these things?
From the company's perspective, they wouldn't be shipping something halfway around the world if it weren't that much cheaper. So, I think a lot of the hope is that, particularly Mexico, where it's also a pretty low-wage manufacturing base, so to maybe move some of that production from Asia to Mexico. And that, again, ultimately helps the United States because there's just way more trade going between the Mexico and U.S. border. You know, United States sells the most of our goods to Canada and the second most to Mexico. We don't sell that much stuff to China. We buy a lot from them. We don't sell much to them. So that's why it's important to keep those relationships good with Canada and Mexico, because at least they're buying our stuff.
But how does this not make a car or any of these things then more expensive? I mean, great for you if you're in Ohio or Illinois and you're making cars, and now more of the stuff has to be manufactured here in Mexico, like you say. And there's also a provision about the wage that you're supposed to earn, and they want that to go up. So hooray for all of us. But don't the consumers ultimately pay for this stuff?
I think you've just hit it on the head, and that's what I said. The biggest impact on anybody listening to this show is going to probably be higher auto prices. You know, the question is how much higher, and is it worth it? And I think if you had a union member or a blue-collar worker on the line, that they would probably say, you know, paying an extra $100, $200, maybe $500 to keep more jobs in the United States and more middle-class lifestyles, you know, maybe that is worth it. So that's, you know, that's the trade-off that's being asked.
I wonder if that'll come around and bite you in the butt, though, because then people, in fact, won't buy the kinds of cars we're talking about. They'll say, skip it, I'll buy a cheaper car that might not be made in the United States. But I guess the idea is that that's going to get hit with a tariff. We're going to tax that other car, so no cars are going to be cheap. Am I reading the landscape right on that?
I think you're gaming it out about right. So at the moment, if you're a Ford or whatever, if you made the car in, I don't know, Jamaica and shipped it over, well, maybe Jamaica's not the best example, but if you made it in a country where we have a most favored nation trading status with, like Germany or Japan, that car would only be subject to a very low tariff rate of about 2.5%. So, you know, you could just skirt this whole, you could say, look, this new NAFTA regulation or whatever you want to call it is way too onerous. I'm just just going to make my car, even make my car fully in Mexico and ship it across the border and pay your little 2.5% tariff. So that's why the Trump administration, and President Trump alluded to this yesterday, said that, well, what we're also going to do is potentially put a 25% tariff on foreign cars. So that would be his big stick to pound these auto companies to say, sorry, you got to make it here or it's going to cost.
So your Mercedes, your Lexus, some of those brands, I mean, I know I don't know where all of these things are made. I know what the nameplate means, but maybe some luxury cars or some foreign cars would become more expensive. Is that what would happen, Heather?
Yeah, it's really funny. I mean, let's just say all of this went into effect, which is still a big if. But at the moment, say BMW is making a lot of their cars sold in the United States and South Carolina.
Yeah, right.
So those are made in the United States and sold in the United States, so they wouldn't be subject to the tariff. So suddenly they would look maybe cheaper than a Ford, which is being made, let's say, 26% of it gets made in Mexico.
I've never been very funny. I'm so glad you make that point. I've never been able to resolve, Heather, should I buy an American plate that might be made overseas and employing people overseas, or should I buy a foreign plate that's being made in the United States, but then the profit goes overseas? I don't know which is the most American thing to do. What's the best for my country in terms of buying a car?
you can look at that a lot of different ways. I agree. I think I have this battle myself sometimes, because some of the quote unquote American brands that I've driven, you can see that it's been made, or many of the parts are coming from overseas. So is that a more American car than something that's actually been put together and has fewer overseas parts, but it has a BMW brand on it. So, I don't know. That's why this landscape has become much, much more complicated.
Okay. Heather, by the way, she writes for the Washington Post, reporting on this, editorializing today. The Wall Street Journal finishes their editorial. We're glad to see Mr. Trump step back from the suicide of a NAFTA withdrawal. But on the public evidence so far, his New Deal is worse than NAFTA. They say we don't know exactly, like you said, what ultimately is going to happen. But if this is what happens, they don't think it's such a great deal. And there's at least a look at some of the things that are in it from Heather Long. You can read her reporting at WashingtonPost.com. Heather, nice to hear your voice again. Thanks for taking our call.
Thank you. Take care.
Yeah, you too.
I believe the president is on the phone. Enrique? Yeah, you can hook him up. You tell me when.
He is so ticked.
There.
It's a big thing. A lot of people waiting. Hello?
There. Okay.
You want to put that on this phone, please?
Someone is going to die after this meeting. The president is muttering to himself. So that call didn't go well, but we've all been to a version of that. Incidentally, when I had Thomas Jefferson on stage at the College of DuPage last weekend, we were asking him, what are the traits that a good president has to have? There were two things he pointed out. The first one was this.
Number one, let's talk about the president, a president. This person should be hesitant and humble. Hesitant by, I was, and George Washington was.
He said you shouldn't really want the job, but you should be willing to do it. But more to the point about should the flags go up or down and how just badly the administration has administered what to do with John McCain's passing. The president said the second most important thing a president should have.
Number two, this person needs to have administrative mastery. When I was president, and so there was nothing at stake in my time. We lived in a 3-mile-per-hour world. I worked at my desk as president 12 to 14 hours a day, mastering the details of it when we had a puny little government. I don't know how you can be president if you don't have a deep commitment to administrative mastery. And that's not delegation. That's being on top of it.
And they just weren't on top of this. Whatever you got to do, figure it out and then do it. But literally the flag going up and down was them not knowing what they were doing. Hi, Rokan. Hi, Anna DeVlantis.
Hi, John.
Hi, John.
going on with you, bad boys and girls?
Well, we are we're trying to be better at whatever it is that we do.
Good, Ro.
We now the question. Excuse me, I'm talking here. The question.
That thing's talking too.
I know that we're going to ponder here. Yeah. You know, the president started this morning with that tweet about Google.
Yeah,
and
that's
then
right.
Larry Kudlow, his economic advisor, said, "Yeah, we're thinking about regulating Google." Is Google actually cheating in terms of the information that we have available to us? We're going to talk to a CNET expert about this. Are they actually shaving the content to keep conservatives down? That's the question.
In the search results is what he was saying, right?
Now, he said 96% of it was bad about him that comes up.
Well, there's that's.
Did
I mean,
you Google Trump news today?
Oh, you know, I'm going to do that right now.
I did.
Let's see. Trump
and
news.
You guess what comes? Can you do it, Anna?
Trump slams Google. Searched as
that's it. All of the Trump news right now, when you Google it, is about Trump and Google.
Trump slams Google search as rigged, even though it's not.
So you're not getting a fair assessment now of what the coverage is, because it's all now about the coverage. I think that I'll shut up and listen to you guys, but that's an interesting topic.
Well,
you think that he's rigging his own rigging here? Is that where you're going with?
It's become rigged today, but I think that he's getting all of the mainstream results. And the problem isn't Google. It's the New York Times and the Washington Post and everybody else is, you know.
Right.
It is.
Well, there's a lot. Right. He does have a way to make the news, and often the news about him isn't about some minute economic policy. It's about him saying something nasty to somebody.
Right.
And so that's not going to be – it's not like you can take that away. The problem – well, we'll talk to the CNET expert about this. That's what we're here for. And Congressman Kinzinger is going to be here remembering John McCain, mm-hmm. as well as what's happening in North Korea. That's really the important thing. But I do want to ask him at least one question about John McCain, because he traveled with him. All over the world.
Wow.
And it's a fascinating, he had a fascinating experience. He could write a book, I think, about his, me and McCain. I'd like to ghostwrite the book for him and take half
the royalties.
Yes, is what I like to do. All right, John, have a good one.
You too.